101.3, The Game. The Game. Sports trending now.
The Celtics, they got a lot of issues, and they'll try to fix them tonight when they take on the 76ers. We'll have the coverage for you at 7:30 on our sister station, AM 960. The Zone. Kyrie Irving won't play in that one with that sprained knee. The Celtics will see if Marcus Smart, Marcus Morris's public comments ended up making any headway with the team as far as their attitude and preparation go. Smart talked to the Boston Globe about the team's effort needing to be more consistent. Could Jason Tatum want out of Boston? Well, reports indicate that he, quote, wouldn't mind being the centerpiece and focal point of a deal for Pelican star Anthony Davis this offseason. That came from Brian Windhorst of ESPN. We heard about it today on The Herd with Colin Cowherd as well, noon to 3. The Bruins are going to be without David Pastrnak for a couple of weeks, maybe up to a month. Thumb surgery for the Bees' leading scorer. 6:30, they take on the Chicago Blackhawks. We'll have it for you on 101.3 The Game after the Cats Den. Pitchers and catchers have reported in for Boston. They are down in Fort Myers, and lots to talk about there. Also, you can go online at 1013thegame.com for your spring training news and notes. The Cats Den is coming up now. We go up until 6:30, and then it's Bruins hockey on 101.3 The Game at 1013thegame.com. Always streaming. Take us anywhere on the 101.3 The Game app and your Amazon Echo.
This is 101.3 The Game. Tonight in the Shams. On the Vermont Sports Network, from Learfield IMG College, this is the Cats Den. Now, here is your host, Brady Farkas.
All right, it is the Cats Den, 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com. Short show, we go up until 6:30 today, and then we will take you to Bruins hockey as the Bees take on the Chicago Blackhawks, battling it out in Boston. Stay safe out there, everybody. Town Fair Tire text line is open, 802-655-6672. Speaking of staying safe, I'm curious about what the plans were for the Catamount basketball team getting down to New Hampshire. I know not particularly far in terms of a lengthy bus ride to go play UNH tomorrow night, but, I mean, you think about this weather right now. You can't leave tomorrow morning, play travel day of game. You're not leaving in the afternoon here. This UVM team probably had to leave early morning to, you know, early to late morning to be able to get to UNH on time. I wonder what that did for them as far as academics, et cetera. So stay safe out there, though. That snow is falling, we are told. I am in a windowless studio, so I have no idea. You guys can be my eyes and ears as well. 802-655-6672. Again, UVM, good weekend for them. They beat Albany, their rivals. Hard to believe it's been seven straight for UVM over Albany. When you think about how good Albany's been, you know, really, I don't want to say the entirety of Will Brown's tenure, but since about 2007, Albany has always been in the conversation. A couple of down years here and there, but they're like the Patriots. By and large, they are always in the mix at the end of the year. And it's when I read that it's been seven straight for Vermont over Albany, I absolutely could not believe that. So 802-655-6672. If you were at the game, you want to talk about the game, what you saw. And that was an interesting game, too, because Albany started out, did exactly what you would expect them to do. And I've said this 100 times. When Albany is outmatched, they play the game the exact same way that they've played it since I've been following the team. When they are outmatched, slow the game down, play it to a snail's pace, get it to a crawling pace, get the other team in foul trouble. You saw the UVM play. You saw UVM in foul trouble for the first half. It was, you know, 13-9, 8 minutes into the game, or 12 minutes into the game, and no one could get anything going. That's how Albany plays, and UVM withstood that. They withstood the foul trouble. They withstood the blitz that Albany could provide defensively and toughness-wise and on the interior. And then all of a sudden, the three-point shot started to flow. Ernie Duncan, again, two straight games now, he's just been lights out from three-point range. Everett Duncan hitting a couple shots in the corner from three. Anthony Lamb continuing to diversify his game, going 10 of 19 from the floor. That's what UVM has the ability to do. They have the ability to score in a multitude of ways and a multitude of levels. They can beat a multitude of paces. They can beat you when you play up-tempo and they can get out and run. They can beat you when you play to a standstill and to a crawl, and they beat Albany by 18. And that's what Albany does best, is take you out of your rhythm. That's what Will Brown does best. I've seen him do it in the NCAA tournament against UConn. I've seen him do it in the NCAA tournament against Florida. That's what he does. And they beat them by 18 because they had the ability to score in a variety of ways, in a variety of levels. Really, really enjoyed seeing what UVM could do. And again, you look at what the Catamounts did, they shot the three well. And I thought at the beginning of the year, the three-point shot was going to be arguably the biggest separator for this UVM team this year. They have the ability to hit it. They have the ability to get on a run and hit it consistently. And now you're starting to see more and more guys get into the action for UVM. And I thought it was really, really important that the other day, UVM got 12 points from Everett Duncan. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but you know what they didn't get? They didn't get their usual 10 to 12 from Steph Smith. Steph Smith scored 3 points on Saturday against Albany. And you didn't really realize it because the team finally didn't miss him. Rich is telling me that he scored 2 points against Albany. Well, the box score says three, so what do you want me to do? So I'm telling you the box score says three. Rich is in here.
Sorry, I don't mean to nitpick. I'm just staring at the box score. So
Rich is in here correcting me.
No. I wouldn't have to contribute if you want. I've got nothing to do. I'll never get home. So.
All right, fine.
I'm just hanging around.
Fine, it does say three. How's that? It does two, actually. You're right.
No, you're right, but I mean, it was interesting because Saturday they got away with stuff. I mean, they just couldn't get anything going. I think they were 9 for 30 from the field in the first half, and you talked about Will Brown slowing everything down, and I mean, it showed in the box score. Robin Duncan 1 for 7, Steph Smith 1 for 6. You know, they had Maul only had 2 points on one field goal. He only played 5 minutes, so I mean, it just they. Will's the king of that. He even picked up a technical just to get everybody riled up at the old gym.
And the thing about it, what I was getting to the point was, Everett Duncan had 12 points, and you mentioned the fact that, okay, Seth Smith had two, and Robin Duncan only had three, but what have we been talking about all year for this Catamount team, Rich, is that they need to get more scoring options. It can't be just Anthony Lamb. It can't be just Lamb and Duncan. You need that third piece. And usually it is Steph Smith, and you get those three, and then you're hoping for a fourth piece. But you at least have to have the big three every night. And they got it from Everett Duncan stepping into his own a little bit on Saturday, getting 12. Because if Everett Duncan only scores four, and Steph Smith only gets two, and the rest of those guys do what you just said, well, then you have a game against a team you're much better than that's a whole lot closer because you're relying on just two players. And at some point, I don't know that Anthony Lamb's ever going to get shut down. I don't believe that. But when you get to the level that you want to get to and playing in an NCAA tournament, you're going to have a big conference team that's going to be able to limit him and make it tough. You're going to need other guys that can shoot, and Everett Duncan did that.
And Everett Duncan and Robin Duncan present different things every game. Sometimes Robin Duncan scores a bunch of points. The other night he went 1 for 7, had 3 points, but he also had 7 rebounds. So, I mean, whatever you can get the help from. And as you said, Everett Duncan with 12 points, he was the third leading scorer on the team. But yeah, I mean, if you look at the stats, it was Lamb finishes with 26 and 14. The team finishes with 67 and 39. They certainly want to diversify that a little bit. That's a big chunk of the total points and rebounds from one guy.
The thing that I found that I didn't like about this game for UVM, which is a kind of a difference from what we usually see, is they only got to the foul line 9 times. Now, they're shooting extremely well from the free throw line this year. They shoot, you know, they're consistently 20 for 23, 18 for 20. But they were 9 of 9. They hit right. Their free throws, okay? They're 100%, but don't be fooled by that. They only got there 9 times. And why is that? Because I think Will Brown's defense baited them into doing what they wanted them to do. And they said, look, we're going to dare some of your other players to do things they're not comfortable doing. The broadcast was talking repeatedly about, we're going to step back off Ben Shungu. We're going to dare him to shoot in the same way they used to dare Trey Bell Haynes to shoot from the outside.
Ryan Davis, same thing. Ended up 0 for 3 from beyond the arc.
Yeah, so. Same thing. He was missing a lot of threes. Like, these guys are better when they go to the bucket and when they draw contact. And that's what Ben Shungu does well. And that's what Ryan Davis should be aspiring to do well. Isaiah Moll, when he plays well being aggressive going to the basket. I mean, Ernie Duncan's a shooter. Everett Duncan's a shooter. Lamb is a shooter. Outside of that, UVM doesn't have a ton of just knockdown guys. Steph Smith can be that at times, but I think UAlbany was able to bait them into doing what they wanted them to do at times, and UVM needs to be cognizant of when that's happening, and they need to continue to attack. And I think John Becker would look and say, we need double the amount of free throw attempts that we got Saturday.
I'd be the least bit surprised if a really bad UNH team comes out and does the exact same thing. Just slow it down, bait them into trying to play that game. It's your only chance. I mean, Albany's not very good, but UNH is awful. I think they're coming in at 3-15.
I mean, they have been atrocious this year. I think they're 3-15. I thought they were 3-20, if I'm not
maybe
mistaken.
Maybe that's what I'll check. I'll check. Maybe that's what it is.
I mean, you've been following the America East for a long time.
Yeah.
Someone actually said that they think this UNH team might be the worst America East team ever.
I heard you say that yesterday. Actually, they are 3-20. They've been piling up losses so fast, I have lost track of them. 3-20, they've lost 8 in a row. They're 1-9 in the league. And UNH is just, I can't remember the last time UNH was good in men's basketball. It's been a long time.
They had Tanner Leisner for a couple of years, and he's a very good player, but they just didn't really get anything around him. They had the kid from Vermont, Tyrone Conley.
That's right, from BHS.
And now you must have seen him play in high school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He had to have been extremely good.
Oh, absolutely. And he actually was a big guy for UNH, but they'd come in here never really ever with winning records. I mean, I have to look back on their stats, but they've been sort of a doormat in this league along with Maine for years.
I can understand Maine not being good because their coach's salary is significantly less than every other coach in the league for the most part. They spend less money than any other program in the league, and just you're at a total outpost of the United States. New Hampshire, I don't understand being this bad, or at least being this mediocre, this average. I've always said this. You need to find what your niche is and recruit to it. And UNH, and I don't know their school off the top of my head, but they need to come out and identify what is it that we do well as a university, and they need to recruit to that. Do we have a program that is above everybody else? Do we have a niche, something we can hold on to? Like when I worked at Norwich, it was pretty simple. Recruit the military kids, because everybody tried to recruit away from the military kids and say, hey, let's just get the civilian students. They're easier to handle because they have easier schedules. They're not out doing all this stuff with the military. Well, you know what? I'm not going to get a kid from suburban Boston to come to Northfield to play in a bad baseball field. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get that. You know what I will get, though? I will get the military kid that is looking for a military education, and now I got to compete against 10 other schools in the country instead of 5,000 other schools in the country. Yeah. Find your niche and recruit to it. UVM has figured out what its niches. Look, we'll take a break. We'll come back, talk about UVM hockey and their big weekend that's upcoming. They split with UNH themselves over this weekend. Catamounts, does what we've seen recently over the last two weekends give us any indication of what's coming in the future? That's next. The Cats Den, 101.3 The Game.
Get your Catamount questions in now at 802-655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line. It's the Cat's Den with Brady Farkas on 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com.
Back, it's the Cats Den, 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com. Short show going up till 6:30 today. Then Bruins hockey as the Bees host the Chicago Blackhawks. They'll do so without David Pastrnak out for a couple of weeks with that thumb injury. That's a big one, too, for the Bees, because they're only a point behind Toronto, which is great, but they're only a point ahead of Montreal, which is not so great. So you're going to come out of this injury maybe in a position to be maybe even in fourth place in the Atlantic Division.
Yeah, that's a huge loss. And when you hear at least 2 weeks, that's not a good sign. They followed that sentence by saying, but it's expected he'll be back before the end of the season. Now, there's a big difference between 2 weeks and the end of the season. That's a huge loss for a team that completely relies on their first line.
Well, Bees are taking on the Blackhawks tonight. They're going to take on the Ducks on Friday. Ducks have been not very good this year. So the Ducks just fired their coach.
Yeah, they did. Carlisle. Yep, they're heading west. Some late night hockey.
Yeah, and they're going to be at the Kings on Saturday. So they're going to be out and trying to figure this thing out without their leading scorer. Trivia tonight, 7:30 to 9:30 over at the Burger Bar in Colchester. Rich, we're talking about hockey. You want to get to UVM here in our last couple of minutes, because UVM's had a pretty good weekend the last few weekends. They get 3 points from Providence on the road, number 9 Providence 2 weeks ago. They split with New Hampshire at home. I would say an average New Hampshire team this past weekend at Gutterson Fieldhouse. They're going to take on Northeastern on the road next weekend, which is a big one considering Northeastern just won the Beanpot tournament. But this UVM team, they started out real slow this year. They're still on the outside looking in of a potential playoff berth inside Hockey East. Do you feel any better about this team as the season has gone on, considering that they have started to accrue some points?
Well, I felt great going into Friday's game, and then they did what they've been doing all year, and that's getting plenty of shots on goal, plenty of pressure, but just not being able to get it behind the goaltender. And that was you lose 1-0 to UNH at home, and that was a killer because they're still quite a ways out from that eighth spot with Maine. I think they're still 6 or 7 points away. But then they come back on Saturday and just completely dominate. They get 41 shots on goal. They get a 3-0 lead heading to the third. They get goals from guys who have not scored much, including a freshman. So it was nice. You know, it was a combination of guys like Liam Coughlin, who has been a goal scorer this year, and O'Donnell, who I think has four or five goals at least, and then a couple of freshmen scoring their second goals of the season. So, and of course, the constant is Lekas in net, who was outstanding the entire weekend. 57 saves, only gave up 2 goals.
This team is still struggling inside Hockey East play. I think, 5 wins inside Hockey East play for the Cats? And again, they're 5 points behind Maine for that 8 spot in the Hockey East playoff race. Is this team playing better because they are getting better as a team, or just because Lekas is carrying them?
Well, like I said, I mean, when you get 41 shots and four goals against a decent UNH team, I feel like that's heading in the right direction. It just seems like the offense has opened up a little bit. Lekas has been the absolute cornerstone right from the start. I mean, how many games have they lost this year? 2-1, 1-0, 3-2, where the other team has 48 shots on goal and he turns them on, you know, on their head. But they still lose because they couldn't get the offense going.
I mean, he's up for the Hobey Baker Award. You know, in the initial round of nominations, he is on the list for the Hobey Baker Award. Doesn't mean he'll win it or even get close, but he is there in the conversation as one of the nation's best players, nevertheless, goaltenders.
And Vermont, a telling stat to me, they've only given up 43 goals in 18 games in Hockey East this year.
Is that that's, because Lekas is great, or
yes,
because that's Sneddon's
Well, it's
philosophy?
A system and the goalie, I think. I think the system is set up to play a lot of 2-1 kind of games. It's been that way since he's been here. But the offense hasn't been there. They're only 1 goal better than Merrimack for last in the league in scoring. But they're not giving up much.
I've made this point before on this show. I'm going to make it again to you. This offseason is extremely important for the direction of this program. And look, I make no bones about this. I don't go... When it comes to UVM basketball versus hockey, I know 100 times more about UVM basketball than I do UVM hockey. So I'm not coming at this with an angle. I'm just merely stating the facts. If this offseason is important because you're going to get a new arena or a refurbished Gutterson Fieldhouse is going to be here in 2 years, it is now the time to be recruiting athletes that are going to play in that facility that year and subsequent years beyond then. This offseason is important because you need to figure out what the direction you're going with the program is. Kevin Sneddon's contract ends after next year. Now, every coach will tell you they hate being a lame duck head coach. They do not like coaching with no indication of what's happening in their future. So UVM needs to make a decision, I think, this offseason. You are either going to extend Sneddon this offseason and give him the free reign to go out and fully recruit, knowing that they're his players, that it's his system, he's recruiting for his system, they're going to be his guys, and he can give the sales pitch that we are going to build this together. Or you're going to get rid of Sneddon, probably, because you don't want a guy coaching who's a lame duck head coach who maybe then doesn't know what his future is and isn't as motivated to go out and try to better the program because he has no idea where he stands in it.
It almost feels like the last month he saved his job. I mean, the thing is, not literally saved his job because I think he'll be back next year. UVM never fires anybody.
You're right, and Ted Ryan told us this a couple of months ago. They would probably be more, it's more in their DNA to just let his contract run out and not get rid of him.
Correct.
But if you say to yourself, Kevin Sneddon's going to coach next season, and then we're not going to extend him. Well, what's happening to your recruits in that time? Is he going to go out and recruit full bore and say, hey, come play for me when I have no idea that I'm going to be here? Or is he just going to sit back here and be not sure exactly what his future is? I understand it. That makes you look like the nice guy if you're UVM because you're not firing him, but is that best for the program long term to leave a lame duck head coach that you're not going to bring back?
And I don't know. And it's interesting because if you look at the league's history, I mean, it's always the same. It's always been BC, BU, and UNH for
BC
the most part.
BC just extended their coach for another 100 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, they'll never fire anybody there either. They've had how many coaches? They've had 2 coaches in the last 40 years. So, yeah, that's a pretty permanent deal. What I'm saying is that you're seeing a little bit of a turn of the tide. I mean, UMass was the number one team in the nation for a while. They're certainly number one in the league, and I think they're still top five. UMass Lowell is second. I mean, when in our lifetime has UMass been the number one team in Hockey East, followed by UMass Lowell? I would say never. So you're seeing some of these other teams. Merrimack had a couple of great years. They had a couple of serious snipers who put up huge numbers. Not Perrin and St. Louis numbers, but somewhat close, and that led, you know, all you need My point being that you just got to find a couple of guys that can shoot the puck. You got to find that guy who's going to score 14, 13 goals or whatever. You're not looking for a guy like St. Louis and Perrin necessarily, but you hate to waste Lekas' senior year next year with no offense. And that's up until about 3 weeks ago what has happened this year.
Well, I hope that UVM is prepared for a hard decision. And I don't know what that hard decision is. I'm just saying, you either need to extend Sneddon now and give him free reign to go forward with this program as it gets bigger and better in a brand new building, essentially. Or you might need to make the decision to get rid of him with 1 year left on his contract, which you don't want to do because that would be the best direction for the program rather than let him just sit out there for a year with no idea of his future or the program's future. That's a hard conversation to have, and UVM needs to be ready for it. I'm not telling you one way or the other because I don't know. Just be that's what's coming this offseason.
Especially on the Hill where it never happens. I mean, they've had Jim Cross, then they had Mike Gilligan, then they had Kevin Sneddon, and that's, what, 30, 40 years worth of hockey right there. They just don't get rid of people until it's time for them to say they want to go.
It's not in their DNA, but it's a tough conversation that needs to happen. Rich, thank you for hanging out. You're headed over to Trivia.
Yep.
7:30 to 9:30. Drive safe, everybody. If you are coming through, we appreciate you. Again, get there safe. We'll see you tomorrow with the Huddle, everybody. It's 101.3 The Game.
Tonight in the Champlain Valley.
It's going to be a long night.